Imagine that you met someone on the street who did not have any experience with church, which is not that uncommon anymore. And this person says, "What did you do this morning?" And you proceed to tell them, "Well, we all gathered together and we carried around an umbrella indoors. And we threw water at each other and we had some incense going. And we told stories." In many ways, it's an awfully funny religion. It is. And we have been an awfully funny religion from the beginning. Last week, I was reading a late 19th, early 20th century German Lutheran theologian named Adolf von Harnack. And von Harnack, I noticed a beautiful paragraph in his writing about the early church. Listen to what he said. "It interpreted the cosmos as the good creation of God, and at the same time, the evil dominion of wicked demons. It proclaimed the resurrection of the flesh, and at the same time regarded and treated this flesh as the worst of enemies. It demanded, under threat of condemnation, the strictest conduct of life in restraint and renunciation. And it promised a perfect forgiveness of sins." I read that paragraph and I thought, that's exactly right. We keep putting strange things together, opposite things together. And then we assert that there's a connection or an identity between them. It's a very strange habit that we have, and we do it all the time. We'll do it today. When we are distributing communion, we'll say, "The body of Christ, the bread of heaven." Body and bread? Christ and heaven? We will put those two things together. And then the oddness of that becomes even more complex when we realize, as Louis Weil said in one of his books, is the body of Christ the bread or the person receiving it? And of course the answer is yes. Right? Yes. Again, we keep bringing together things that seem like they're opposites and asserting a connection or an identity between them. In Greek, the word for symbol is symbolo, and it comes from the word symbibaxo, and it means to fling together. In a symbol, we fling together a meaning with a physical thing. We fling them together. And that's a big part of the weirdness of our religion. We fling things together. So we look at the umbrella and pretend it's a church dome. And we throw water at each other and think of God's blessings. We share bread and wine. And we understand them as the body and blood of Christ. All kinds of flinging things together. It's what we do. It's what we do and who we are. You see, so often people think of God as another content of the universe. The world contains, the universe contains people and planets and stars and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and God. But God is not a content of the universe. God made the universe, and God holds the whole universe in being. And so things that are opposite to us are not opposite to God. Things that are opposite to us are not opposite to God. Day and night to him are both alike. And it's important for us to understand that. I often bring this point up when I talk to people who are all anxious about evolution, right? Evolution is random, but what about creation and God making the world? Well, random and ordered are not opposite to God. And you know what? Neither is human and divine. God chose in the birth of Jesus Christ to make it the case that human and divine are no longer opposites. God flung them together in Christ. And so part of the reason why we have this funny religion where we fling meaning together with all kinds of physical things is because Christ is both human and divine. And that God does that. God looks at things that we experience as opposites and says they're not. And enrolls us in the work of bringing together, of flinging together so much of our world. This is crucial to who we are. It cuts right to the core of our theology and our understanding. This is why I love in the Corinthians reading, I did a little word research. Katalasso is the word for reconciliation. And it means when you chase down the root of the word, exactly and decisively changed. Exactly and decisively changed. I think that's fascinating. So often we think of reconciliation as, okay, we won't fight and we'll get along. But that's not what the word means. Reconciliation means decisively, exactly and decisively changed. And in reconciliation, both parties are exactly and decisively changed. And so when Paul tells us that God in Christ reconciled the world to himself, he immediately then says, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Why? Because we are now part of God's life. And so we'll be doing the same things that God is doing. And the thing that God is doing is experiencing things as not opposites. Flinging them together. Flinging them together. Conrad Weiser had the opportunity as a child to go live among the Mohawk. And it gave him in his formative years the opportunity to see and experience that two very different appearing lives can share a deep connection. And it resonated with his understanding of Christ as divine and human. And it resonated with his German Lutheran teaching about law and gospel. Because Luther worked really hard to try to hold together law and gospel, which could easily seem like opposites. So Weiser had this experience of understanding and seeing that things that look very different can share this deep connection and an identity. And so he constantly throughout his life went and stood in those places where people were experiencing opposites between the Iroquois and the Pennsylvania colonists, between the Iroquois and the Southern Native American tribes, between various groups throughout the early centuries of our nation. Weiser went and stood right in the middle and helped them to see that these seeming opposite positions share a deep connection and an identity. One of the ways that we know we did this is that an Iroquois, member of the Iroquois nation, said upon his death, "We are at a great loss and sit in darkness, as since his death we cannot so well understand one another." They depended on Conrad Weiser to help them make connections where they only experienced opposites. What I want to assert to you is that in our divided nation, as the people of the God who flings things together, as the people of the God who decided that human and divine would not be two but one, we are in a unique position to speak to our divided world. We are in a unique position from our deepest theology down to how we do ministry, to all the things we've been talking about this weekend, to our worship here today. Through all of it, we are the people of a God who does not experience all these things as opposites, and who saves us by making sure we understand that things are not opposite to God. And by making it true in our earthly, temporal, finite life, that we are one with God. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through the sending of the Holy Spirit, God makes human and divine not two, but one. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit in our baptisms, we are also divine and human, though certainly not perfectly the way Christ did it. But that puts us in a unique position to look at our broken and divided nation, to look at our broken and divided world, and to say, you're not two, you're one. And to appreciate the distinctiveness of all the different parts and proclaim them as united. It's part of our work. It's part of the challenge we face today. God chose to have us be alive now in this broken and divided world. So God chose to have us be God's ministers of reconciliation. How do we look for the ways that we're not divided? How do we proclaim the importance of them in the light of who God is and what Jesus did? Because God is continually linking together the things we experience as opposites.